I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Holy Hour of Power, the TJ Show. Some people call it Totally Jesus. Some call it Truth and Justice, but it's actually called the Terry and Jesse Show. And we are here to, we aspire to inspire until we expire. And while doing so, we may even perspire. Terry?
Amen, brother. Jesse, welcome. Before, we're going to get into the gospel as we always do, but today's going to be a special edition. We just had our spiritual warfare conference over the weekend, and wow, my phone has not stopped ringing on the weekend, this morning. I think people were touched, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But this is ordinary time now, Jesse. We're officially out of the Christmas season. And this is the first week of ordinary time. It's not ordinary. Nothing's ordinary when you read the gospel of Jesus. And so, Jesse, the first reading at today's Mass is taken from Mark chapter 1, verse 14 to 20. Could you be so good to read that and proclaim it to us?
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Amen.
After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. By the way, this is the third mystery of the luminous mystery now, this event of the life of Christ. As he passed by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets into the sea. They were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." By the way, what he told Andrew and Simon right there, he says to all of us, okay, every single one of us, he talks to your heart audibly, maybe inaudibly, and he's calling every one of us, especially once you've been baptized and confirmed. He's saying, come after me and I'll make you fishers of men. So this is a universal call that Jesus makes upon us through Holy Mother Church. It says, then they left their nets and followed him. He walked along a little farther and saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They too were in a boat mending their nets. Then he called them. So they left their father Zebedee in the boat along with the hired men and followed him, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
And this is the way Jesus Christ established the church.
Yep.
He picked one person at a time. He established the apostolic college. The apostolic college was given the gifts of the sacraments and the universal call to preach. And so little by little, this mustard seed that we see right around the Sea of Galilee has grown to this huge oak tree, which has many branches, and it's all over the world now. It's called the One Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church.
And Jesse, when the gospel says, come after me, and I will make you fishers of men, yes, that's directly telling the apostles, but it's also applying to us in a very special way. Every single one of us is to come after Jesus and give our lives to Christ. This is really something that sometimes we forget as Catholics. We think, oh, our Protestant brothers, they turn their life over to Christ. Well, we're supposed to turn our life over to Jesus Christ and be a other Christ, like St. Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Jesus. So this is a very apropos, and I love this, Jesse. We need more of hearing this gospel because it says, repent and believe in who? Buddha? No! Repent and believe in Jesus. And this is a message that we need to put out loud and clear. Here at Virgin Most Powerful, every single day, we might talk about some political things, but every day we say, turn your life over to Jesus Christ. Receive him in Holy Communion. Go to confession. Be more intimately connected to Christ and love the church and proclaim the teachings of Christ through the way you live your life. So this gospel has a lot in it. It's short, Jesse, but yeah. I love that part about repent and believe in the gospel.
Yeah, that's the call to Christian discipleship. Repent means change your mind in Greek. That's what it means.
Uh-huh.
Change your mind.
Excellent.
And I'll tell you also what's very important about this gospel is that Just so you understand, as a Catholic, some people maybe have heard this at Mass today or read it today on the internet or their iPhone, and they're saying, okay, that's cool. Jesus called these Jewish men around the Sea of Galilee, these fishermen, to follow him. Oh, no, that would just be called a historical reading of Scripture. But there's also a spiritual reading of Scripture, the Catechism says, which means that as you read those words that he directed to 12 Jewish men in the Sea of Galilee, he now, because the Holy Spirit is carrying those words, which are timeless, he's speaking to you right now in Los Angeles, in New York, in Arizona, in Washington.
Amen.
That's called the spiritual sense of Scripture.
That's right.
Those words are timeless, as the Bible says in another passage. Heaven and earth will one day pass away, but my word will never pass away.
Well said, Jesse. I want to bring the smartest guy into the room right now, who's Fulton Sheen. Let's bring him in on that choo-choo train, Mr. Engineer. Oh, he's not. Hey, there he is. Full Sheen ahead. Sometimes I wonder about that choo-choo train, Jess. Hey, Archbishop Fulton Sheen, what's the message for today? Here it is. And this is so beautiful and appropriate for the gospel about repenting and turning away from sin. He says the greatest love story of all time is contained in a tiny white host. The Eucharist. Jess, the source and summit of the Christian life. How many of us, let's face it right now, Jesse, in the church, the statistics show people don't believe in the real presence. They don't have a clue on this love story. You know what they think, Jesse? As you know, they think it's a symbol. For 30 years, Jesse, I've heard you've been preaching at parishes. You used to give tests on the Eucharist. Do you remember you and your brother? Yeah. And how many people couldn't get it right, Jess?
The majority. We'd give them four possibilities. The Holy Eucharist is A, B, C, or D.
Yeah.
And one of the answers was correct. It's the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Under the appearance of bread and wine after the consecration. And I would say probably, Terry, about a third of the people would actually get it right. We would actually put like B, answer B. It's a symbol of Christ. Yeah. Answer C, it is Christ only by the faith in your heart. Yeah. Or C or D. It is Christ only because of the faith of the congregation. And I'll be honest with you, most Catholics got it wrong, Terry. That's not good.
No, Jesse, and that's why we're bringing Father Joe Fessio and Adoramus, a conference on March 14th on a Saturday here at the Sacred Heart Chapel, to talk about the liturgy. Because, Jesse, think about this. The old axiom, the way you worship is the way you believe. So if people aren't getting it with their liturgy right now about the real presence, then that tells me something. We're not communicating. So I would encourage you who've, come to our conferences, you know you're going to get what not Jesse Romero teaches or Terry Barber, but what Holy Mother, the Church, has taught throughout the millennials of the Church teachings on the Eucharist. So that's a conference coming up on the 14th. You can register for that by calling the 877-526-2151 number or go online to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Jesse, you drove all the way from Phoenix, Arizona into L.A. like you do probably 10 or 15 times a year for conferences. Tell me, brother, from your perspective, I mean, we had the biggest crowd on hand that we've ever had. There's a lot of activity that went on this weekend. But from your perspective, what did you see happening on Saturday at the Spiritual Warfare Conference?
First of all, I saw good basic catechesis on spiritual warfare being given. Mm-hmm. And you could see the hunger of Catholics because, again, of all the conferences that we put out, this was the most well-attended one at this point.
That's right.
Why is it? Because this is an area that Catholics, we've dropped the ball in. After Vatican II, we basically just says, you know what? There are no demons. This is just a figment of your imagination. Most of the modernists that basically started teaching the spirit of Vatican II, they just poo-pooed the entire rite of exorcism and angels and demons. And so as a result of that, many Catholics were hungry because they know there's a spirit world out there. And after Vatican II, there was silence for decades. So what happened? The Protestants jumped on the bandwagon, and the Protestants flooded the market with spiritual warfare and deliverance books.
That's right.
So what happened? Catholics, there was nothing out there. So Catholics says, well, I want to learn about this because I know there's angels and demons and there is, such thing as a possession and demonic, torment. So Catholics started buying Protestant books for decades and started doing conferences all over the country. And so well-intentioned Catholics were using the Protestant model of deliverance for decades,
right,
which is getting them in trouble because they don't know the standard operating procedures of spiritual warfare. And so what happened, who broke through this? About 15 years ago, Father Gabriel Amorth, rest in peace, the diocesan exorcist in Rome,
yep.
He came out with a book through Ignatius Press.
That's right.
And this is basically what started this renaissance in spiritual warfare in the Catholic Church. Then another book came out, then another book, then other exorcists started writing, then schools of exorcism started in Mundelein, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, in Denver, Colorado, now in Wichita, Kansas,
yep.
And more books are flooding the market. So now Catholics are getting proper catechesis on the do's and don'ts of spiritual warfare. And as you can tell by the size of the audience this weekend, how hungry they are.
And we're going to talk to Dr. Sandoval in our next segment regarding his input. He was at the conference giving one of the presentations. And Jesse, just a quick note, when you were talking about how few exorcists there were in this country, even 20 years ago, there was just a small handful for millions and millions of Catholics. And what's happened, not just in our country, but all over the world, Italy, Europe, demonic activity has grown so much that the church is finally, and I say finally because this has been going on, they say we have a need to fill. This is happening all over the world. And I'm going to suggest this, Jesse, that one of the reasons the devil has so much reign right now, he's not on a leash, is because we've stopped praying. We've stopped living the sacramental life, and so that's opening portals for the demonic. When we come back, we're going to have Dr. Louis Sandoval on to talk about the spiritual warfare conference that just took place over the weekend, and I think you're going to like what he has to say. This is the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful. We always want to bring you closer to Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. We'll be right back with much more of that.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is Jesse Romero. Join me on a pilgrimage of faith and discovery to Poland for the 100th year anniversary of the birth of St. John Paul II in May of 2020. Together we'll experience the faith, beauty, and culture of Poland and become imbibed with the spirit of John Paul II. We'll visit the town of Wadowice, where John Paul was born, and the city of Krakow, where he was ordained and later became bishop. We'll also travel to Jasna Góra and visit Our Lady of Częstochowa, and we'll have a chance to venerate the original image of the merciful Jesus at St. Faustina's convent and the city that St. Maximilian Kolbe built for the Immaculata. Finally, we'll pay a visit to Auschwitz, where St. Maximilian Kolbe was martyred. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to worship and discover your own faith at places where St. John Paul II grew in his own love for our Lord. For more information or how to join this pilgrimage, visit my website at jesseromero.com.
Jesus said in Luke 17, "When you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have only done our duty.'" According to St. John of the Cross, God is pleased with the little deeds we do in secret. He takes more pleasure in these than in a multitude of grand works that we may do out of the desire to be seen by others. May God help us to do the things that please Him, and not just to appear great in the eyes of others.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
If anybody wants to call up that was there this weekend, yep, at the Spiritual Warfare Conference in St. Christopher's in the city of Covina, call up.
888.
We'd like to hear your...
Let me give them the number. 888-526-2151. That's 888-526-2151. For those who weren't there, we had a big surprise for everybody, Jesse. Our auxiliary bishop, Bishop David O'Connell, said Holy Mass for us. And not only did he say Holy Mass, Jesse, you've seen this before, and I've been with him. He's done this before. Tell our listeners what the bishop actually did at that Mass.
He did something that I've never seen a bishop in the Catholic Church do in my life. There's over 500 people. There are close to 600 people there. And of course, you know, he knows that there's people that are probably there spiritually afflicted.
Yep.
Okay? With demons. Because people like that obviously are attracted to conferences like this because they want to get the proper information from good Catholic sources. Mm-hmm. And so the bishop, during his homily, it was no 8-minute homily, trust me.
No.
He went about 40 or 45 minutes. It wasn't in the schedule, but hey, praise be to God, because again, I've just never seen something like that. And even Adam Bly, he says, I've never seen a bishop do that in my life.
Yep.
In his homily, he took us all through basically a deliverance session.
Exactly.
And he walked us all through it. He said, okay, I want all of you guys to repent. Everybody here, think about your sins right now. Okay, I want you to repent of that sin. We're here in front of our Lord. And, you know, obviously, you know, if you have to go to confession, he says, go to confession for a mortal sin after. But right now, we could confess venial sins and stuff. And,
yep.
And you could even have contrition for mortal sins. Just go to confession after. Mm-hmm. So he goes, okay, let's repent. And let's start repenting. And so he said, but don't say your sins out loud. We don't want to scandalize people.
Nope.
He goes, okay, think about what sin just came up to mind. Maybe you're involved in witchcraft. Maybe whatever it was, alcoholism, whatever it was. He says, now let's renounce that sin in Jesus' name. So repeat after me. And so what this bishop did.
Awesome.
Terry, he took us like, instead of one-on-one, that's what you do one-on-one. He took 600 of us, and it's like a time with the bishop. I'm spiritually afflicted by a demon. And he walked us through a basic healing and liberation and deliverance session. And then at the end, he did something that is powerful. If Catholics only knew the power that flows from a bishop's prayer, because they're successors of the apostles, he raised his hands over everybody,
yep,
and he prayed deliverance prayers. You know what I felt when he did that? I closed my eyes. I'm saying, I can't believe a bishop's doing this. I mean, Adam Bly and me, we looked at each other and we got tears in our eyes. We said, wow, this bishop actually believes. And it's a breath of fresh air. As he's praying over us, you know what I saw? I'm closing my eyes and I can just feel like, kind of like Niagara Falls. I could feel like Niagara Falls coming from his holy consecrated hands, mm-hmm, as a successor of the apostles. I can see like a tsunami of grace that looked like waterfall coming from his hands and washing over the entire nave of the church. Mm. That's what I saw as I closed my eyes. And in my mind, I'm saying, if people only understand the power that he unleashed right now. And as a result of that, there was a manifestation. There was somebody that reacted to the power of the bishop's prayer. And Terry, just once again, I've never seen a bishop do that in my 58 years of living on planet Earth.
Jesse, why don't you explain that the bishop is the one who gives permission for exorcisms? In other words,
every Catholic bishop is the T-H-E-E.
That's right.
The exorcist of every diocese.
Well said. Yep.
Okay? And in fact, I'm going to show you how powerful. And I'll be honest with you, somebody could say, hey, Jess, what are the guys on the left or something? The demon just recognizes the authority. It's just like saying, what are the chief of police? Here's an example. What if the sheriff is cheating on his wife? Hey, the crooks still know he's the sheriff and he can arrest you and take you to jail. So notwithstanding the person's personal holiness, demons recognize authority.
Yep.
And they know that the bishops have the authority in the diocese over the baptized and to drive off the diabolical. Let me tell you how powerful it is. I'm not going to mention what diocese it was. There is a friend of mine. He was sitting in a session of exorcism. So the exorcist is about 10 minutes away and the possessed person is already there waiting. It's called the energumen. So the priest texts my friend and says, I'll be there in 10 minutes. I'm right around the corner. I'm parking my car. The possessed person, the demon started erupting. We call that manifestation. physical attacks upon the body of the possessed person. And there's different things that they do, but there's a physical diabolical manifestation before the priest comes in. So my friend that works directly for the exorcist, he's his assistant, everybody in the room, they're kind of panicking because, again, they're saying, oh, no, the father's not in here yet. But the father of the boy who was possessed, the son, the teenager, he was there. Good. So my friend, knowing the authority issue that a bishop has over a demon, a priest, an exorcist has over a demon, and that the natural father has over his son or daughter who's possessed, he told the natural father, get over here, get over here. The guy goes, oh, what? The guy's scared. He goes, raise your right hand, put on your son. Say, what? Put your hand on his head. I'm not a priest. No. Be quiet. Listen to me. Put your hand on his head. Repeat after me. Yep. So my friend that knows the rules of spiritual warfare,
yep, authority.
He taught him.
Yeah.
He goes, I, as the father of this child, I bless him in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I command you in Jesus' name as his father to leave my son right now. Guess what happened? The demon left the boy.
Awesome.
Based on the authority of the natural father.
Right.
Because demons are legal and they know the fourth commandment. They know that natural fathers are the priests of the home. Guess what? The exorcist walks in about 2 minutes after, talks to the boy, does a diagnosis as he does to see if there's any demons left, and he looks at the father, and he says, hey, good job, Dad. He shook his head. He goes, your son's set free. The boy completely came back to normal. His personality, his character, his eyeballs, went and hugged his father and started crying. He said, Dad, something left when you did that.
Wow.
Again, so the point that I'm making, Terry.
Yes, it's a good point.
Is that they know
the authority.
There's certain people that have authority to drive them out. The bishop. And the priest that the bishop assigns.
That's right.
And the natural father who's living in a state of grace over his wife and children.
Well said. That's a great story. And I want to let everybody know, we recorded Bishop David's 40-minute deliverance on audio. And you can get that. If you're a monthly donor, you get it already. So don't call in if you're a monthly donor. But if you want to join us, you can call 877-526-2151. Get all the talks of the conference. And I hope that you can become a monthly donor, because that's the kind of stuff you get every single time we have a conference. Jesse, the Bishop David did that, and not only did he do that in the morning, but he stayed with us throughout the morning, and there were other manifestations that took place at that conference. A lady was out in the parking lot just screaming, and I knew—
He went out and laid hands on her.
Yes! And Adam went out there and ministered to her. I mean, this was the place where, you know, good over evil was taking place at this spiritual warfare conference. And I can't thank all of our listeners who have been supporting us, because we're going to put on another one. And we can't say who's coming next year, but Jess Romero, I'm putting it on his shoulders because he's got big shoulders. He's going to be bringing some pretty big heavy hitters.
Well, just like I did this year.
That's right, brother.
I brought it. These are some heavy hitters this year.
Yep. And again, yeah, next year. So look for that. But Jess, the whole weekend, was really the whole all Saturday's conference. It really moved me as a person just watching the people. There were so many people coming up to me and saying, thank you so much. This really touched me. And I'll tell you about one in particular, a young couple. They weren't married. They were 22 and 23. They're full-time youth ministers. And they came up to me and said, hey, we've never heard this before. You're blowing us away. What the heck is, why don't we hear this stuff? So I said, well, you know what? It's not important why you don't hear it. I said, but I want you to get Fulton Sheen's Life is Worth Living, get catechized, because they didn't know much about their faith, but they had a great desire to serve Christ. Yes, they were open to it. And then, so now we're going to go to their parish, work with their young people. And so this conference opened many doors. Jesse, I'm going to tell you one more thing that happened that I didn't share with you even off the air. But I'm going to say it, but I'm not going to say his name. A gentleman from a large diocese, one of the top 10 dioceses in the country, was at the event. He was in charge. He was the superintendent of Catholic schools. Okay? He comes up to me. He's a permanent deacon. Okay? He says, Terry, shakes my hand. He's my name. And I said, oh, yeah, deacon. Nice to see you. He says, look, we need to get more of this in my diocese. We need to, people need to be waking up, because this stuff is happening in our Catholic schools. And I'm the superintendent. Would you be willing to come and work with us in my diocese. I said, yes, I'll talk to you the first of the week, and we'll start working with you. Why do I say this, Jesse? I don't want to say names, but the bottom line is people are going, wow, we don't hear this anywhere. This was just such an eye-opener for so many people. And he's the superintendent of schools in one of the largest dioceses in the country. And he's at the conference, and he goes, man, sign me up. I want to help. So, Jesse, this spiritual warfare conference is touching souls, not just in Southern California, but all over the world.
Terry, and the fact is people say, well, I don't want nothing to do with this. Too late. Guess what? The moment that you were baptized and you were brought into the body of Christ and you entered planet Earth, you entered into Satan's kingdom. Guess what? You're involved in spiritual warfare, whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not. The fact of the matter is, it's like saying, you know what? I don't want to get wet. I know it's raining out there, but I want to walk to my car. I don't want to get wet. Too bad, you're going to get wet. Planet Earth is full of angels and demons. They're all around us. The demons prowl around like roaring lions. Right. So as Catholics, we got to get our heads out of the hole in the sand like an ostrich and say, okay, this is a reality. What does the church teach? How do I armor up?
Well said. We've got Julie. She's going to come on right after the quick break we have. She was one of the participants of the conference, and we want to hear what her thoughts are. If you want to get the complete recordings of the conference, just call 877-526-2151. If you're a monthly donor, don't call, because you get that. I want to make the pitch. The pitch is, when you're a monthly donor, all of our conferences are given to you by an email, because that's how we say thank you for your support. Not only the conferences, but Scott Hahn's material, Fulton Sheen, all Tim Staples, all these good guys that we've recorded over the last 40 years, we're going to make them available to you. Jesse, my phone is burning up with texts from people all over the country right now, and they're saying, wow, I was there, this was powerful. So when we come back, Julie in California is going to join in on this. And again, if you want to go to another conference, look at our website, Virgin Most Powerful Radio website, and look at events, because our next event is going to be the 14th of March, a Saturday, a 15th, and it'll be a conference on the liturgy with Father Joe Fessio and many other experts. We need to have a great love for the liturgy. If we don't understand the liturgy, we're missing so much in our Catholic faith. Jess, before we go to Julie, we're going to take a quick break. They can still get your book. How can they get your book, Jess, your latest book?
Yeah, just go to my website. The book is called The Devil in the City of Angels. Yeah. I'm one of the lay Catholics that's dared to talk about this topic, and it's opened up a national conversation. I was just on Guadalupe Radio this morning in Texas, and it seems like every day I'm on another station. So you can get my book by going to my website, jesseromero.com.
We'll be back.
JesseRomero.com.
We'll be back with Julie as soon as we take a quick break. This is Terry Barber, and Myra Brown is with me. Myra, welcome.
Hi, Terry. I am so happy to be here with you today, because I am up to something that I think you'll find very interesting.
Tell me, what is it, Myra?
Well, I want to give away a DVD, your famous 3-hour talk about how to share your faith with everyone. And do you know how I'm going to do it?
Tell me.
Well, me and my friend Annie Jo are calling everybody to talk about monthly donations, because that is how we keep this station alive.
Absolutely.
And so every person that answers either our email or answers our phone call will get that talk.
And they can get it by calling 877-526-2151. And just tell us how you heard about it, because I really am excited about Myra's project, because we want to have Virgin Most Powerful in every state in the union.
Yep, and we're going to do it with your help. So answer the phone call, answer that email, and I look forward to getting your prayer intention then.
God love you. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Rated PG, praise God. Terry, what do we got on the line?
We've got Julie in California. Julie, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. How are you? Are you there, Julie?
Great today.
Oh, I know who Julie is, if it's the same Julie. Did I meet you on the weekend, Julie?
You did. You met me on the weekend. Both met me. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. Yes, well, tell me, what did you think of the weekend?
The weekend was absolutely fantastic. It was inspiring, knowledgeable, uplifting, and I just absolutely loved it, and I'm so grateful that you both put this on.
Well, thank you. And Julie, has this something that you've been to before, or is this the first time you've been to a spiritual warfare conference?
The very, very first time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I bet your eyes were opened a little bit, huh? Just a little?
My eyes were opened, and I actually purchased Jesse Romero's book, The Devil in the City of the Angels.
Good.
Yes, and I've just begun reading it, and on his foreword, it says, "Today we are witnessing an unprecedented rise in the occult all over the world."
That's right.
And that's right. And then it says, "In writing this book, Jesse Romero has done Holy Mother Church a great service."
I agree.
Because most Catholics get their information about spirits, angels, and demons from Hollywood movies and TV series.
That's right.
And that's absolutely right.
Yep.
And that's the false information that we all know, because it's on social media and it's all over the media. So I'm so excited. I haven't read the book yet. I just started with the foreword, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Good, Julie.
I wrote it thin on purpose so it's very readable.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, and also I'll tell you what's important is that as Catholics, the devil wants to deceive people and give false teachings through Hollywood, even through Protestant deliverance ministries. And so I'm glad that Catholics, you know, thank Father Gabriel Amorth. He's the one that impelled a lot of Catholic priests and exorcists to start writing on this topic. And now other lay Catholics like myself and Adam Bly have jumped into the mix as well. But we have to put out what the church has taught for 2,000 years so that Catholics know the rules of engagement and they don't get in trouble.
Thank you for that. Thank you. And, you know, we all get in trouble. And I love what you said earlier on your talk on the radio. You know, spiritual warfare, whether we know it or not, or whether we like it or not, we're in it.
Amen.
We're born. And once you're born, you're in it. So, amen. And thank you for that. That's a really great reinforcement for everyone to hear and to just be reminded of.
Well, Julie, I want to thank you for calling in, and I hope you can come to the Adoramus Conference in March, the middle of March 15th. Just go to our website, virginmostpowerfulradio.org, or call 877-526-2151 to register. Julie, I just got to say, I like your fire, I can hear it in your voice that you're a woman who loves Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. So thank you for sharing with us.
Amen. Thank you, and God bless you both.
Thanks. Wow. Julie, she's fired up, Jesse.
That's right.
Praise
and,
God.
And I'll tell you, Terry, there's several ways that the devil has attacked us as a church.
Yeah.
Number one, again, by putting up false information about the diabolical. Mm-hmm. New age spirits.
Yep.
That's false teaching. Those are demons.
Right.
You got Protestant deliverance ministries that don't have a sacramental system, so they don't have the full authority. They don't have the authority of Christ. They plagiarize. They cut and paste from Catholics here and there. And then you have, again, Hollywood's jumped into the mix with all these TV series on the diabolical, giving, again, false catechesis, false teachings. And so I'm glad that Father Amorth, he rattled people's cages 15 years ago. he started writing about this, and here we are now, Terry. We're starting to put out some good information.
And Jesse, years ago, Betty Brennan, a laywoman who was a witch, back, remember in the early 90s, we heard Return to the Sacraments. She was the first one who exposed the Harry Potter books before it even became popular. When she told me to my face, Jess, she said, those spells are real spells in the Harry Potter book. Very dangerous. Do not let your kids, you know, get anything to do with the Harry Potter books. And people were going, what? Do you remember, Jesse, how many times you were told you're nuts when we were exposing the Harry Potter books as part of the occult? And they said, what, are you crazy?
There's still good Catholics. I don't want to mention their names. They're all over the social media.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's good Catholic apologists, Harry.
Who defend
I won't
that.
Mention any names.
No, I won't either.
That defend, and these are respected writers that defend the Harry Potter series.
And Jesse, we've taken a price for sticking to the hardcore line on this issue. And we're going to stick to it because it's the truth, not because we have a personal opinion. The facts are the facts, Jesse. And one thing I will say, you know, we talk about people in the church who, you know, the poor catechesis. Well, in the 60s and 70s, many of these catechisms, like Wilhelm's book, The Christ Among Us, that printed 3 million copies, they didn't even believe in bad angels, the devil. And, you know, the Father Superior, the Jesuits, what last year, Jesse, came out and said, you know, there's no devil. That's just a manifestation of evil. It's not real. Now, finally, somebody got to him, and I'm wondering if it's just political correctness, or did maybe somebody convince him because he had a change of heart to say,
I think they threw cold water in his face.
Well, yeah, something. But here's the point, my brother Jess. We have to talk about not just good and evil, but the four last things, the fundamentals of the faith when it comes to the spiritual life of the church, because that's what people are lacking. So when you say, Terry, Jesse, you guys are constantly griping about going to confession. You're constantly saying, pray your rosary. You're constantly saying, read your Bible. You're constantly saying, do the first Fridays and Saturdays and do all the spiritual work. Why? Because if you want to be a good boxer, you want to be a good ball player, you work on the fundamentals. You want to be holy? Live out your Catholic faith with the fundamentals of the faith. That's why we say what we say.
Yeah. Terry, let's go to the phone. We have somebody else calling up.
Good. I didn't know. Come on in. Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. Oh, no, not yet. My engineer said not yet.
Okay. Let me mention something very important. I'll make it very basic.
Sure.
Yesterday's gospel at Mass, it talked about the devil. It says oppressed by the devil.
That's right.
The verse was used.
Yep.
Let me just make it very simple so people could understand how to stay protected from the diabolical. It's very simple. If you'll notice in the Gospels, that the demons are always called unclean spirits.
That's right.
Okay? Every time you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they don't use the word demons. Most of the time they'll say unclean spirits.
That's right.
Okay. Here's a simple.
Tell me.
Think about math and science. There's a formula that's called like attracts like.
Yes.
So follow me here. Unclean spirits like unclean people. If you're living an unclean life, you're unchaste, you're involved in sexual perversions, even with your wife.
That's right.
If you're living an unclean life, you have no control over your mouth, your language, you love intoxication. I'll make it simple. You're inviting a demon because unclean spirits like unclean people. And this is, and by the way, unclean spirits do not like clean people. What does that mean by clean? People that have faith, hope, love, a prayer life, and most especially live in a state of grace, free from mortal sin, and even fighting the inclinations to venial sin, and regularly filling their soul with the sanctifying grace that comes from confession and communion.
Well said, Jesse. St. John Ball.
I made it simple.
Yeah, St. Don Bosco said the same thing when he said, show me your friends and I'll tell you who you are. You got to hang with people who love Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. You hang with those people who are into evil things, it's going to pull you down. It's pretty obvious. And that's why, mom and dad, you know, be very careful about who the kids are coming to your home. Or because I'm telling you, Jess, I've had enough experience, and I know you have too, where people say, hey, my son Johnny, he's getting to, you know, the tarot cards. Well, how did he get into that? Well, one of his friends brought him. Or the Ouija board came into our home through a friend. You've got to be vigilant on this because it's critical. Because, again, you as mom and dad have to be the protectors of your children, not just physically and not just feeding them, but spiritually, most important, keeping sacramentals in your church, in your home, you're having holy water, the miraculous medal, the scapular. All these sacramentals are incredibly important in preserving the purity that's going to happen in your church and in your home. And just one more thing about what you just said about showing you the friends. Even you as an adult, the adults, mom and dad, I've seen this happen where mom or dad has a buddy come over and he's bringing bad things into the house. We have to be very careful who comes over to our home, Jess, and you know that. When you have parties, make sure that those people that are coming are not bringing bad things into your home because it can affect your family. And I always say this before we have a party, Jess, I bless my house with holy water when I have people come that I don't know. I guess we've got our call coming in. We'll take it right after the break. I think it's Dr. Sandoval, Jess. So
okay, whatever you want to do. I'll just mention one thing that I learned a lot of stuff at the conference as well. Tell me when we're ready. Are we ready to take the call?
No, keep going, Jess. What did you learn?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, let's take her.
Take the call.
Laura Blazer. She's on. Go ahead, Laura.
Yes, Jesse. Thanks for taking my call. You mentioned I know about this, that the father has legal authority to pray deliverance prayer over their children.
Right.
What about the mother?
Yeah, the mother has legal authority as well.
Elaborate. Oh, yeah.
Based on the fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother. Mom and dad have legal authority to pray binding prayers, deliverance prayers over their children. And in fact, mom and dad both can lay hands on the head of their children because both of you, based on positive law and natural on the fourth commandment,
yep,
and Thomistic philosophy, have authority over your children. Now, can you pray? Can you lay your hands and pray an imprecatory prayer? I command you or I bless you over your nephew, over your next door neighbor's kid. Nope.
No.
You can pray over, if somebody else comes up to you, like for example, I got authority over to pray, lay my hands on my wife's head and my kids' heads. Now, the authority diminishes for the grandchildren, but there still is some authority there based on Exodus chapter 20, where it says God's blessings extends to the 1,000th generation of the family, and God's punishment goes down to the 3rd and 4th generation of, you know, of fathers of. And so you do have limited authority to pray over your grandchildren, but you have full authority to pray in precatory prayers, blessings over your children.
Laura, thanks for your call and thanks for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We'll be right back. Hopefully Dr. Sandoval will be on with us when we come back.
Jesus said in Matthew 26, "Stay awake and pray that you may not enter into temptation." According to St. Ephrem, Jesus, who feared nothing, experienced fear and asked to be freed from death, although he knew it was impossible. How much more must we persevere in prayer before temptation assails us, so that we may be freed when the test has come? May God grant that we may withstand temptation and carry out His will in all things.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. I like to say we're too blessed to be stressed, too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, we'd be billionaires, especially after a beautiful spiritual warfare conference we had on Saturday. I have Dr. Louis Sandoval, who was one of the participants, speakers at the conference, on with us. Doctor, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for joining us, and thank you for coming on Saturday and giving a wonderful presentation. Dr. Sandoval, tell me what your impression was for the Spiritual Warfare Conference as a speaker. What did you see there?
Oh, gosh. First, you know, I want to thank you guys. I was so honored to even be invited. It was such a blessing, and so, you know, I felt very honored to be able to speak to the people. I really saw a lot of faithful Catholics who really wanted to get to know more about how to love Christ.
Amen.
As we know, deliverance is Christ-centered, as Jesse always says. But we've got to know our enemy, and we've got to know what we're dealing with in terms of the spirituality of it. And I just saw some, you know, a lot of faithful people who really, really, at the end of the day, as I was talking to them, they felt so blessed, and they felt so happy to be there. They were energized. You had them pumped up, Terry. You had them going. They were pumped on, in the
Good.
Faith, and they just really wanted to love Christ more.
Wonderful.
Hey, Luz, give me just real quick. Yeah. You're a medical doctor. You're also in. You've also studied this. You've been to, you know, schools and studying the diabolical and exorcism and stuff. So my question, you know, how would you assess the difference as an expert? What are some of the things that you would say that distinguish somebody that has just, you know, schizophrenia or psychosis or mental illness from demonic possession? How do you assess that as a medical doctor and as a faithful Catholic?
That's a great question. So, you know, ultimately what you got to look at is I approach both sides from a medical perspective. It's just that when I look to see, does somebody have any kind of spiritual affliction, any kind of possession, I always want to look at what's the medicine of the soul. How did Jesus Christ medically approach that? And what we really got to look at is the criteria. So if somebody does have, say, a psychiatric illness, it doesn't have much of a spiritual influence in it, you want to look for the criteria. Is the person hearing voices? Are they psychotic? You always want to know how they use drugs. What are the voices telling them? How many are they? How long have they had them? Is it continuous? Is it throughout the day or not? Same thing with bipolar. Are they experiencing any manic symptoms? All these things can look the same, and they can manifest the same way. Once we start wanting to see how much of this is influenced by the demonic or by the, you know, evil in the spiritual world, you want to look at the criteria for that, and you want to look at if it's a full possession, you're looking at speaking different languages, but fluently, not just a couple words. Anybody can pick up a couple words here or there. This is when all of a sudden through the person, there is a full knowledge of a foreign language, which is impossible to happen unless the person grew up in that language. And normally the person had no clue of this. The other thing is they have an aversion towards the spiritual. The spiritual actually makes them, it hurts them. You know how if you show somebody who's pure and holy something that's not, if you
yes.
show them something that's profane,
yes.
you can tell that they're hurt by it. It's the same thing, but on the flip side, because remember, everything's reversed now. So now you show them something holy and something beautiful, and it hurts. It hurts the demons. So that's another thing to look at. The other thing is, do they have full knowledge of something that they would never have any knowledge of? Are they able to tell somebody's unconfessed sins or unrepentant sins? Are they able to know something that it would be impossible for anybody to know? So those are the big criteria that we use when we're looking at is somebody spiritually afflicted. And that's at the extreme. You know, possession is at the extreme. What we've got to look at, too, is the everyday stuff. Are we just kind of everyday afflicted, oppressed, or things along those lines? Because now you're talking about somebody could look depressed. They don't have to have full psychosis or bipolar disorder or mania, but they could be depressed. They don't want to get out of bed. Everything's just really heavy for them. Everything's really hard. Even if you tell them, you know, at 8 a.m., hey, let's go out today and do something, they're not going to start getting ready till 3 because the body's so heavy. These are classic symptoms of depression, but don't be surprised if there isn't a spiritual affliction as well, because even if we can't hear the demonic voices, subconsciously, they could be talking to us and sending us messages that we don't like. And sometimes we don't believe that. And the messages are always negative. They always tell you that you don't matter, that you're no good. But if we don't believe that, let's look at the power of advertisement. How many times, what are we putting in commercials that subconsciously the brain is picking up? Even you're advertising one product, but you're showing profanity on the side. You know, you're showing people having illicit relationships, but the drink is great. Why do we do this? Because the advertisements know how our brains work and what it picks up. The demonic knows the same. And they can very subtly continue to tell people negative things that over time we start hearing internally. And all of a sudden we start feeling down and we don't feel good about ourselves. So it's really important to assess both. I always ask my patients how their spiritual life is, not to neglect that, because if we're spiritually starving, we got to feed that. If not, we're going to feel just like we're physically starving or like we're mentally starving. And we can't underestimate that.
Well said. Well said. Dr. Sandoval, I just have to say that your presence there in explaining to people on the medical side was something that we've never had before. And my question to you is, what would you tell moms and dads that are listening right now and just regards to spiritual warfare, to helping their families? Earlier in the radio broadcast, I talked about blessed objects and sacramentals, having, you know, holy water in the home and protecting what goes into the home, whether it's bad things like the Ouija board and all these things. But what else can mom and dad do to help protect their family from the demonic?
Absolutely. Great question. And you know what? I started already preparing another talk for good. Another conference. And, you know, if
sure.
we can
absolutely.
Ever get together again.
We'll do it.
Because I realized after at the end when I was getting a lot of questions.
We've got to have Luis by himself a one-day conference.
At the chapel where we talked about that.
Yeah.
We're going to do it.
Just all day. Yeah. Just you. Yep. Right.
I was listening to what the people were asking me sure. afterwards, after they heard the talks and
right.
Adam Bly's talks, I thought were excellent.
Guys. Yes.
But I was listening to what people were talking to me about. And one of the main things is just like that, Terry, that's exactly what they were asking. They were saying, what can I do? You know, I see that my son or my daughter, they're acting this way. They're doing this or doing that.
Yeah.
What can I do? The first thing I would say, my first question is, how old is the child? Because then at that point, and are they married or not married? Because then we have to look at, as Jesse always talks about, the authority structure.
Yep.
How much authority do I have over my child? And I think that at a young age, we don't have this in society anymore, because in society, everybody has to get a trophy. But at a young age, we should start telling them the truth that their actions are their responsibility.
Yeah.
So they, you know, at a certain point, a lot of moms were coming to me and saying, I had a couple of moms saying, you know, my son's doing this, my daughter's doing that. And I said, well, you got to remember something, because they said, what can I do? The first thing you can do is pray, but the other thing you got to remember is that they are making their own choices, and we can guide them in their choices. Because one of the things that afflicts parents is they start feeling guilty, and they start feeling like they're responsible all the time for what their kids are doing. But then I ask them, I say, gosh, for whatever you do right now, are you going to blame your parents? As an adult, do you say, well, I did this, and it's my mom's fault? If you do, then we have to talk about, have we matured in our faith? Have we matured in the idea that of what we call, you know, we are responsible for our own choices. We can't, at the end of the day, point fingers, because spiritually, if we know the truth, then we know how to act in the truth.
Well,
and that's what the demons love to do, is they try to pretend that you don't have free will. That, you know, like you guys were saying before, oh, the devil made me do it.
Yeah.
Well, the devil didn't make me do it. He might have, you know, cajoled me. He might have advised me. They might have put things in my path. But at the end of the day, the choice was mine, and I still have that power. And so the converse is true. The great part is, hey, the choice is mine. This should actually be empowering, that I don't have to listen to something negative. I can do something positive and come out ahead. So that's what I would teach the kids, even at a young age. You have to make these choices for yourself. And while we can't decide what's good or bad. And that's one of the problems of society. We can't decide that. We have to make an assessment of what's good or bad, because God's already decided what's good and bad. So what's good and bad is already there. I can't pretend that something bad is good. I can't change that.
That's right.
What I have to do is make an assessment and make a choice.
Well,
and I know based on what I know, yes.
Dr. Luis Sandoval, do you stand in a minority position as a somebody who's highly educated in the field of psychiatry, a medical doctor, and you actually believe that there's a preternatural world of demons, these evil entities that can attach themselves to human beings. Do you stand in a minority position, or do you see more colleagues of yours open to this?
I see, it is a minority position. You know, I see a lot of colleagues kind of open up when we talk about it.
Yeah.
And I've had a lot of colleagues, they obviously, you come into my office, I have, icons and statues of Christ. And so they know that I have a spiritual component to my approach to psychiatry. So I've had a lot of colleagues on the side come and ask me, hey, do you think this could be spiritual, not spiritual? What do you think of this? And so I think that that's a little bit refreshing to some of them. Other times, though, in the world of science, we've become very bold. And all of a sudden, we have this idea that it's either science or God. And my answer to that is, well, let's see, I used to teach chemistry. And let's say that I bake a cake. And a cake is just chemistry. It's a recipe. You put it together, you put it in the oven, you set it to a certain temperature, and all of a sudden you've got these molecules changing from this batter to a different substance. That's chemistry. And that's the equivalent of me saying, wow, I can bake a cake. There must not be a God. Well, how does that even, make sense? No, if I'm learning about the planets or science, how does that make God not part of it? That I've never understood that. And so it is a minority position, but I think people are starting to now look at more spiritual things, which is good. They're looking at things like mindfulness and, things of that nature,
sure,
which we've always in the Catholic faith called meditation and prayer to Christ, and examination of conscience.
Yep.
So it's becoming kind of trendy sometimes in the scientific world, but we've always had it. We've always had it. They're just trying to repackage it.
Dr. Sandoval, what Jesse just said about having you come out to the Sacred Heart Chapel for a day, we're going to work that out with your schedule, because I know people are looking for that question I asked you. The reason I asked that question is because I get that question all the time. Mom and Dad are looking for help, and I think you can help with that. So I just want to thank you and your busy schedule to call in with all the patients you have today. Well, you're amazing.
I'm inspired with you guys. Luckily, it's my lunch hour, so I can get a little time here.
Well, thanks again for joining us, and I'll be calling you, absolutely, and we'll set up a time. Dr. Sandoval, thank you so much. May God bless you and your family.
Talk to you guys.
You got
all right,
it, man.
God bless you, Luis.
Hey, Jesse. I got to tell you, tomorrow, everybody's talking on all the websites about a book that Pope Benedict Emeritus and Cardinal Seurat wrote for Ignatius Press defending priestly celibacy. Mm. And it says, I cannot keep silent, Benedict XVI. I think that's an interesting topic for tomorrow, brother. Hey, Jesse, what state should we be living in, brother?
Arizona, no. California, no. Texas, no. Florida, no. New York, no. State of grace.
Absolutely.
That means be in a right relationship with God. That means be free from mortal sin and even resisting the daily tendencies towards venial sin. Don't live in the state of mortal sin. They got a bad governor there. He's called the devil. They got bad city council. They're called demons.
Yep.
And the temperature is horrible. Yeah. It's hot there. Don't live in that state of grace. I'm a state of mortal sin.
Amen, Jesse. And if you want to get copies of the talks from the Spiritual Warfare Conference, because I'm getting texts from people saying, I wish I could have come. Well, we got them for you. Call 877-526-2151. You want t-shirts on spiritual warfare? Go to our website, virginmostpowerfulradio.org. And we'd love to get those to you. I want to thank all of our listeners. Get the word out about Virgin Most Powerful Radio by sharing this podcast with your friends. That's how we grow. So may God richly bless you and your family. And full sheen ahead, Dr. Ed is up next.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of Thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of Thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For Thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.